This Eric in the Morning podcast is brought to you by ComEd. ComEd safety is ComEd's number one priority. To find tips about electric safety for your home and family, visit ComEd.com/safety. ComEd, powering lives. All right, here it comes. Hey, I was wondering. If you have a question for Hey, I was wondering, you can email us. That's how I got this one. It was emailed directly to me from Carolyn. Or you can go to any of our social media sites, slide it into our DMs, as they say.
Yeah.
You can text it 60123, and we'll get that answer to you, okay? Carolyn says, hey, Eric, so I'm wondering something. Do I have to be on Facebook to see the Drinking with Eric podcast? Yeah, I think you're referring, Carolyn, to the I Need a Drink series that is available. Do you have to be on Facebook only to see that? Now, normally I would turn to Mel D, and she would explain all the different places you can get it, but she's not here. She's at home, probably typing furiously now.
Yes.
Violetta, do you know the answer to that?
I sure do.
No, so, see, there you go. I knew it. I knew you would.
So we put it on all of the platforms. Our handle is at Eric Morning Mix.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Instagram, but it goes to IGTV.
There you go.
So because it's such a long series, because it's so good.
Right,
we
yeah.
Can't,
this is so good.
Oh,
God. Keep it coming.
Yeah, long doesn't necessarily mean
up.
Good.
How do you feel wow. about that, Eric?
Let's remember that.
Yeah, we can't cut it down. There's too much good footage.
Right.
So it doesn't fit on a regular post.
Right.
So that goes over to the HDTV.
Gotcha.
It's on HDTV?
Oh, no, it's not HD.
It's high HDTV.
Is it an HGTV also?
Yeah, also on the Home and Garden Network.
Wait,
that's cool.
IGTV. Sorry.
IGTV,
like
yes.
Instagram.
And you put some gardening tips on after.
Yep.
And
I'm also on the DIY Network.
Awesome.
Oh.
Kick ass, build a shelf, do some gardening, and have a drink.
You're so versatile.
I am.
It's also on Twitter
and
Facebook. And then also, I think it's in our latest scoop page at WTMX.com.
And I think you can track it down on YouTube as well.
Yep. We have a YouTube channel.
Yeah, you can see it there. But what happens is, what you've experienced on this show, you understand why I drink. And a lot of times when I leave, I need to drink immediately. And so what will happen is, I back when bars were open, I would just try to find a neighborhood bar. And the damnedest thing. Every time I go in, I sit down, there seems to be somebody that's just sitting next to me already drinking.
Huh.
And it's usually a notable Chicagoan. And then we have a drink together. So that's the I Need a Drink series. What was the last one? Was it Rancic the last guy I ran into?
No.
Or was it somebody else?
It was a long time ago.
Calvin DeHaan from the Blackhawks. Yeah, Calvin
You're getting
DeHaan.
Them all confused. There's so many that are so good.
Well, the reason you can get them all in the DIY network.
Right.
The reason I bring that up is after 7 o'clock... A brand new I Need a Drink is released.
What?
Yes, I know. Look
How
outside.
How did you do this?
Violetta never misses one. Well, it happened right before the lockdown took place.
Oh, no wonder.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It happened right before the lockdown took place, and our director of the I Need a Drink series, Steven Spielberg, just completed final cuts.
He couldn't cut it either because it was so good.
Right. So it's a three-hour movie. Yeah. So the final cuts were completed for the just prior to the lockdown, I Need a Drink. So we will be releasing that and make it available to you after 7 o'clock this morning.
Sweet.
You'll never guess who I ran into this time.
I have no idea, but I can't wait to find out.
It's the weirdest thing.
We're going to add to the collection.
You should know, I intentionally tried to avoid it. I'm like, you know what? I'm tired of running into people I like to drink alone. So I'm like, I'm going to go find a bar that's subterranean and cool. And dark.
Right.
Nobody's going to be there. Nobody's going to know anybody. I sit down. I plop down. Bam. There they are right next to me.
What is happening?
I'm like, are you kidding me with this?
Man.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I can't wait to find out what the next one's going to be even after this
one. Well, you know, there were some plans, but then lawsuits came up. So forget it. It's not
important. Not worth it.
You could start drinking with your family or your dad.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Your kids.
Sit down with my dad with a nice Prosecco.
Yes.
Yeah. I would love to be my friend. Eric in the Morning List at 6:20 now. Billie Eilish saying, I spent so much time thinking about whether I'd like me. If I saw me, I'd think, oh my God, she's so dope. Like, look at her outfit, dude. I think I would think I was so cool.
Oh, okay. Hey,
well, at least we don't have any issues there.
Yeah, you like yourself.
Yeah, top three reasons you know you would like you. We have a tie at number three. Vanessa, you know you'd like you. Why?
Because I think I'm hilarious.
I'm hilarious.
Well, and that was funny.
I crack me up.
Mm-hmm.
Tied with what, Bill?
I always got a smile on my face.
Always smiling.
I love it.
Smiling Bill and hilarious Vanessa. Get the two of them together. At number two, the reason you know you would like you, Mitzi.
I can swear better than anybody I know.
Oh, good. That's good for you, but we can't have you.
Yeah, don't say that.
Thank you for that. You need a good quality swear, I'm your girl. And finally, in at number one, the reason you know you would like you, Alex.
I like the party.
Yeah! I like you too, Alex.
Yeah, baby!
Yeah. Wow, I love your excitement so early.
I like to party. Yeah.
You know That's what you're like? My Jesus. I like to party.
Ah.
What about Jesus? What?
Well, he's being Cal from Talladega Nines.
Ah!
I like to party.
Got it.
That's how I like my baby Jesus partying. Welcome back to the show. He's been very gracious with his time and his expertise and his input and insight. Dr. Kevin Most, the Chief Medical Officer with Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, back with us. Dr. Most, good morning.
Eric, good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for spending a couple of minutes with us. I know your time is stretched pretty thin, I would guess, correct?
A little bit. Right. We got a few things going.
Yeah. You know, I think the thing that is top of mind for all of us is, obviously, with the extended stay-at-home order through April, everybody wondering when we're going to, you know, talk about flattening the curve, when we're going to reach the apex of the curve. And then you heard the president say yesterday that the next 2 weeks, and he used the word horrific, is going to be the story. And I think particularly talking not only about the nation, but New York City and the East Coast. Do you have the same viewpoint? Is it going to, are the next 2 weeks going to be bad? Are we reaching an apex here anytime soon?
No, I don't think we're going to reach an apex here anytime soon. You know, 2 weeks, that's possible that we'll start on that apex. Then time will tell how much we flatten that curve. We're starting to see our cases start to increase, but not at a point where they're doubling yet. So still have an opportunity for everyone to stay at home right now, stay away from that vulnerable population, and we'll still try to soften this and dampen the blow.
You know, and there is a shocking quality to all this. The Fountains of Wayne lead singer passing away yesterday from coronavirus caught us a little bit off guard. And I had a guy that I worked with and did a morning show with in Florida is in critical condition in Seattle in a hospital right now.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding me.
With coronavirus, yes.
Oh, no.
But is on the mend. Is on the mend,
oh,
they
good.
Say, which
That's
is
good.
Good. And what I wanted to ask you is, it seems like it affects everybody that has it in such different ways. It can be so mild and it can be so critical. Is there any way to anticipate what effect it might have on each of us as an individual?
No, it's really difficult, Eric, and it's probably one of the things I've been harping for the last 3 weeks probably is, you know, do everything you can to strengthen your immune system because we really haven't figured out why it impacts somebody in one way and why it impacts others more strongly. Certainly those who have a comorbidity or another disease which decreases their immune system, we know they're at higher risk. But there's also these one-offs that say, why did this person get it so hard that than the other person that's almost exactly like him? So that's all going to be sorted out as we go down the road. But right now I'm telling everybody, do everything you can to protect your own immune system and strengthen that. Get your sleep, eat right, vitamins, vegetables, all of those things to make sure you protect yourself as much as you can.
If you have a question for Dr. Mosen you'd like to ask it, you can get through at 312-233-1019, and I'm certain you're willing to take a few if we get some calls.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, and we've had some people text in some different questions. I thought I would dive right into those right now. The first one is, when or how does one know that they are no longer a carrier? In effect, someone that has zero symptoms but can still carry the virus.
Yeah, you know, that's a question that I wish we had a great answer for. You know, most times after you've had the influenza and you start to get rid of your symptoms, we know that the virus is essentially out of your body. We don't know that now, and we don't have the number of tests available to actually test people that tested positive. So our goal is get to a point where you have no symptoms whatsoever, wait 2 days beyond that, and assume that at that point you're not going to be. But again, even through that time, you're still going to be shelter in place. So really the only people that you could be exposing are your family members, which you probably already exposed while you had the illness.
Right.
Should we all be wearing masks at this point, Dr. Most?
That's a million-dollar question. You know, the masks that we talk about, the N95 masks that we wear as healthcare professionals caring for these individuals, are a mask that will block 95% of particulates that we're concerned about. The mask you're seeing everyone wearing around really is to protect the public from the individual wearing the mask. In other words, if I'm coughing, I should wear a mask. The mask itself may not do a whole heck of a lot to protect you. It may protect you some, but not as much as we all need. The big thing it does is it stops us from touching our face, from touching our nose, from touching our mouth. So that might slow the illness. And it also increases awareness for everybody for social distancing as well. It's just that visual cue of stay away.
That's such an interesting point, too, because I know a lot of people put the masks on thinking that they are protecting themselves. But as you said there, it's more for the person who might have it, who really, if you have it, you shouldn't even be out anyway, right?
Correct. You know, individuals who have it, please stay at home, self-isolate, try to stay in a room, you know, don't come out. I know many people right now are very tense about their employment, but believe me, we're much better off decreasing this. So stay at home if you have that cough or that fever, any of the symptoms that we're looking for, because we really want to slow this spread. Your employment will come back at the end of this.
I'm glad you mentioned the employment. Another question that was texted in at 60123. My question is, there are so many different opinions on how long the virus will last on things. I'm particularly interested in paper. My company is still working deemed essential. Our employees fill out worksheets, and I have to job cost them. So I'm curious as to how long the virus may last on paper.
Yeah. So the studies have shown that it's going to last anywhere, depending on which study you look at, from 8 hours to 2 days, depending if there's plastic in the paper and if it's laminated. So really, what I tell people there that are working with a lot of paper, make sure you wash your hands frequently. So whenever you've touched anything, try not to touch your face and to wash your hands. It's not going to jump off the paper onto your face. So as long as you are being careful about touching yourself and washing your hands frequently, then that'll decrease the chance and still allow you to work.
I'm glad you said that, because I was watching yesterday Governor Pritzker's press conference, and Dr. Ngozi, she had mentioned something to the effect of washing hands again. If you wash them 2 times a day, you're doing great. If you wash them 4 times a day, that's fantastic. 5, 10 times a day is unbelievable. Is that really true? Because I'm a guy who's washing my hands like 30 times a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you, we wish people would wash their hands more frequently, especially if you've been out and around anywhere. I can tell you, in the healthcare profession here, our doctors are washing their hands probably 100, maybe 150 times a day. So, I mean, we're very, very careful. We know that that's the spread. But really, what she also was hinting at is, we in America rinse our hands. We don't wash our hands.
Right.
You know, who takes 20 seconds, 30 seconds to wash your hands? You don't. You just kind of rinse them and go. So a good hand washing with soap is going to take care of anything you had on your hands. And now, depending on what you touch, decreases your chance of spreading it.
Okay, let's grab a caller here, 312-233-1019. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. You had a question for Dr. Most?
Yeah, I was just wondering, my wife has celiac disease, and I was just wondering, is she more susceptible to being able to get the COVID-19?
Well, Paul, anybody who has a chronic illness, a celiac, Crohn's, a lot of those, depending on the medications that they're on or may be on, definitely decrease their immune system. For celiac, really, it's staying away from gluten diet, and as long as they're staying away from the gluten diet, their celiac disease is often under control and don't need any additional medication. But other individuals with other digestive illnesses like Crohn's disease, those individuals who are taking medications like Remicade, which decrease their immune system, they're at a much higher risk. So you really have to be careful around those individuals because their immune system is depressed by the medication.
Okay, I have another question. This is kind of going back to your colleagues and other people that you work with. What's the latest, like the update on how much closer basically the hospitals are to getting enough ventilators that they need, enough new clean scrubs that they need, masks that they need, all that kind of thing in order to be more prepared? And I mean talking just locally here in the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, Melissa, it's a great question because everyone hears in the news about PPE and do we have enough PPE? And I can tell you what we're doing right now. It's interesting. My analogy is when the Cubs go to play a game, they plan on a 9-inning game for number of baseballs, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we're in a game that we don't know whether this can be 9 innings or 27 innings or 30 innings. So what we're doing is we started today, actually, those N95 masks, which are golden, are ones that we will be re-sterilizing and reusing for the same individual. So we're going to extend that PPE. So now it's just a matter of how long the game goes. When you talk about scrubs, it's interesting. Yeah, scrubs, we really don't need a lot more because we change them out. Every day someone comes in street clothes, puts on scrubs. When they leave in street clothes, we wash those scrubs. So we're making sure that we have that information. The ventilators is going to be the big thing, and that's the most important part about dampening this curve. 85% of people are going to have mild symptoms. We're treating the 15%, and we need to make sure we have enough ventilators to take care of them. And right now, it'll be touch and go as we start to get into these next 2 weeks.
You know, that, speaking of the ventilators, they talk about in New York City and the crisis situation they find themselves in, that doctors might have to reach the point where they make decisions who gets a ventilator and who doesn't. Do you ever see something like that happening here?
That's probably one of our biggest concerns, and we know we've thought about that. So we have ethics committees that are put together in place right now to handle with those situations. And we also now are looking at our ventilators and say, although we look at a ventilator as a one individual ventilator, we actually have the technology and the engineering so that we can put two people on the exact same ventilator as long as they're the same body habitus, things we never would have thought of in the past, which again is just going to extend the asset and extend the equipment that we have to treat more patients.
Hi, Ann. You're on with Dr. Kevin Most. Did you have a question?
Hi, yes. I was wondering if we need to worry about the COVID in the air. I heard from a friend who's son works in the medical field and said only to be outside walking for 10 to 15 minutes. I walk every morning for an hour. Is that something I need to worry about or change?
No, Ann. A matter of fact, keep doing what you're doing as long as you're not around other people and not congregating. Fresh air is great. It's one of the one things that we're even allowed to do to test people. You see all these tents that are up for testing, and one of the reasons is because we're testing in open air and it dilutes it very quickly. The particle actually is more of a droplet, so it drops to the ground and lands on a surface. Being in the air, it's aerosolized certainly when we do procedures here. We're very careful about that. But your chance of getting this walking outside is almost zero. You're probably the safest place you could be is outside.
Hmm. What is the status on whether we know if you are immune once you have had it and gone through it and recovered?
Yeah, Whip, you know, the big thing with testing, you know, we have two parts of testing. Everyone needs to understand it. One is the swab testing, and that swab testing is, do you have the virus now? What you're talking about is the blood test that we're all hearing about and that we all know about. And what that is a blood test that looks to see, did you have the disease? Do you have antibodies to that? So in other words, they might check me and say, wow, you had COVID. You didn't even know it. Those tests are the ones that we're going to be doing in the summer, in the fall, and hopefully a lot of people will sign up to have those.
Great.
Because we need to know about the immunity and how long it's going to last.
You know, interestingly enough, as a tie into that, the Abbott lab test that everybody's been talking about, that you get the results in 5 minutes, are you optimistic about that?
Very optimistic for a couple of reasons. Right now, when someone comes into hospitals and we're not sure if they have COVID, the turnaround time for some of those tests was 3 to 5 days. And when that happens, we put the patient in a COVID room, treat them as if they had COVID, and use a lot of PPE, personal protective equipment, which drains the asset depletions. Now we have the test so that we know before the patient leaves the emergency department whether they're COVID positive or COVID negative. It's also going to allow us to test healthcare workers and mainly people that are going into nursing homes to work where we know that vulnerable population is. So the Abbott test, kudos to the team at Abbott. We hope they get more and more kits out because that's going to be the biggest thing. We all have the machine, but we need the kits.
Okay. What about the vaccinations? Have you heard any new updates about when those might be available? Or where are we sitting with that?
Yeah, so they tested two doses of the vaccine right now. They're going to start to test the third. What they do with the vaccine is they'll test a low dose and see if you had, one, any reaction to it and what your response was to that. And then they'll increase that dose and do the same. They're getting ready to do the third round. So they're going to the higher dose, and then they'll check the response. Once that is done, then you can at least start doing larger studies. This study that they're doing right now is only on about 50 people. And after that, they're going to go to a much larger number, but they need to do that because they don't want to put out a vaccine that's going to harm somebody or not be effective.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So we are waiting on the Apex, trying to take care of ourselves all around the country. They're starting to get alternate hospital facilities ready to go in arenas. And we saw the naval ship that came into New York and here in Chicago at McCormick Place. Should we anticipate, before we let you go here, Dr. Most, that places like McCormick Place and however, I think I heard 600 beds set up in there, are those going to fill up in the next couple of weeks?
You know, I'm not sure it's going to be the next couple of weeks, but if we look, I think right now the surge is going to be at the hospitals in the next couple of weeks. The goal after that is what happens in the hospital where you have patients and you have nowhere to send them. They can't go home yet, but they're not sick enough to be in the hospital, yet we still have patients coming in the front door. That's going to be a safety valve for us, and our good friends at DuPage Medical Group are working with the governor to see how they can help, as well as each of the universities trying to figure out how they're going to staff that. It's easy to get the beds. It's harder to get the doctors and nurses because we're all overwhelmed as it is, or we all will be overwhelmed over the next couple weeks as it goes here.
All right. You know what? Can I grab one more caller for you, Dr. Mose?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Hi, Marlene.
Yes.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. Are you more prone if you just got done having cancer?
Are you more prone or susceptible to the COVID if you just had cancer and had treatment for it? Is that your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Marlene, if you have, you know, kicked cancer, you know, the chances are that you're no longer on chemotherapy and your immune system is back up. That being said, it depends on the cancer and the damage that the chemotherapy did to your immune system. I tell anybody who's a cancer survivor that you're still immunocompromised, and be really careful and be very thoughtful of who you're around and what you're around. But a lot of people who have kicked cancer and are now back on the recovery and on the remission state, actually their immune system is very good because that drug that knocked down their immune system, they're no longer getting.
All right, Dr. Kevin Mose, your Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Mose, thanks for your time. We always learn a lot when you're on with us, and hopefully we can keep doing this and get to that apex and get on the backside and flatten this curve and get back to life as usual someday soon.
You got it, Eric. Call anytime. You know that.
All right,
stay
thank
healthy.
You. Appreciate it. Yes, please do. Dr. Kevin Mose, and thank you for the calls and the texts. We will stay in contact with him and continue to have him on and track this progress all the way through April. It is a very, very difficult and strange time right now.
Right. Welcome to Lily's Bake Sale. Today we're offering the red velvet cupcakes that Mrs. Johnson next door called breathtaking. Cash, credit, or online payment accepted.
Just like Lily, ComEd provides multiple payment options.
Need a gluten-free or vegan? Just ask our staff.
I'm not your staff, I'm your brother.
Choose the payment option that works best for you. Auto pay, online, phone, mail, or in person. Visit ComEd.com/pay. ComEd, powering lives.
One order of gluten-free cupcakes coming right up.
Anybody listening who got the new COVID-19 hobby? Well, there's nothing else to do, so you might as well learn how to knit a sweater.
Seriously.
By the way, it looks great, Whip, the way it's really coming together.
Thank you very
much.
That
one sleeve looks a little longer than the other one, but I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, I didn't know it was going to be a crop sweater.
Yeah, I'm going to cut it. Yeah. I'm going to cut the sleeve, scissors.
I think it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Your COVID-19 brand new hobby, Lori, is what?
I'm making masks.
Masks? What kind of masks?
Oh, I'm a nurse, so I am making
So, like, actual hospital-style?
Correct.
Like N94-style masks?
Well, N94, yes.
Not to that extreme, but I'm just trying to paint
a
picture
of
what it looks like.
Regular fabric, you can do that,
you're
right?
You're not doing, like, a Halloween mask or a mask that you might get at the spa or something like that.
Not quite that.
Gotcha. I just wanted to be clear.
Okay.
I had it right. Hi, Tricia.
Yes.
Your COVID-19 hobby is what?
So it's not me. It's my 68-year-old mother.
Okay.
She is obsessed with these diamond dots. It's like a picture with a million diamonds, and you just sit there and put them in the little holes. And every time I call her, she's like, I cannot talk. I am very busy with the diamond dots.
Diamond dots.
Yeah, that's very popular.
I saw Violetta nodding. I have no clue what this is.
We're in the middle of one right now. It's
a black.
Who's we? Me and Porter.
Okay.
My son. So it's a black cat. And then, so it's just these little, they're just kind of these dots that you put, these little tiny little plastic things are cut in so many different angles that they'll sparkle when the light hits them.
Shine bright like a diamond,
Rihanna. Shine bright like a diamond. There
you
go. When you're done putting them in there, you know, you can hang it on your wall.
Is it a cat, you said?
Ours is a cat, yeah.
Oh, speaking of cats, hey, John.
Yeah, I've been feeding my cats catnip and then filming them in slow motion when they freak out.
Now that's hilarious. Now that's a good hobby. Get the cats stoned on the nip,
yep,
and then film them in slow motion.
There you go.
Post it to social media. Hours of fun.
There you go, crazy.
Yeah, that's very good. Very good. Hi, Ashley.
Hello.
Hi, your COVID-19 hobby is what?
Hi, yes. My name is Ashley Anderson. I have started playing my violin again. So I used to play when I was a kid, and I brought it back and started playing, and super rusty, but it's starting to come back.
That was the nickname of our first traffic guy here, Super Rusty.
Yeah, he was weird.
Yeah, he was weird. Are you home now?
I'm actually on my way to go work out.
Oh,
I have a private gym.
I was hoping we'd get a small concerto.
I know, like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Do you play it in your house, or you like that? I told the story of the woman that was in the Chicago Symphony that has decided to go out on her lawn twice a day and give a performance. Do you do that?
Oh, you know what? I used to do that as a kid. I would go and put flyers in everybody's mailbox, my neighbors, and send them, invite them all over. My mom would make like brownies and have a concert in the driveway. I haven't done that in a while. Maybe I should do that for my new neighbors.
Sure.
Now as I'm an adult.
Do you, what do you play? Like what song in particular?
So right now I'm working on Concerto in A Major.
Oh.
I'm also working on another piece. One of my favorite pieces is Preludium in Allegro. If you've never heard it, you got to hear Tchaikovsky you got to hear...
Bach.
Love Bach.
You ever played, besides Tchaikovsky and Concerto in A Minor, you ever played Go Tell Aunt Rhody? You ever played that one?
I have not.
You might want to try that one. Whip did that. Yeah. Sounds like this. This is Whip on the trombone. Go Tell Aunt Rhody. That's great. You should do that on your front lawn.
Maybe we could collab.
Yeah.
We had read a story earlier this week that said a surefire way to lose weight while you're in self-quarantine is to, at some point during the day, put your swimsuit on. Get out of your pajamas and put your swimsuit on and walk around in your swimsuit. Perhaps you become so self-conscious you stop eating. Maybe it has some other ancillary effects or benefits. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we're testing the theory when our good friend Laura agreed to do it for us each day this week. Hi, Laura.
Good morning.
All right, so yesterday, did you put the swimsuit on again in your home and spend some time in it?
I did.
Okay, perfect. Was your teenage son again freaked out by it or not?
Now he just thinks it's funny.
Okay, good. Oh, that's good all we're looking for, some good comedy.
Yeah.
So how long would you say you wore it yesterday?
About 4.5 hours. I felt like I went to the light first day.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, big jump from the first day.
Wow.
I'm hoping I don't get sick. It's chilly.
Oh, turn the heat up. You'll be fine.
You're killing it, Laura.
That's great. Yesterday was the first day, and you reported that you actually went up 1 pound. It's time to find out how 4.5 hours worked after weighing yourself today. Feel free to gamble at home on this one. There's no games to gamble on, so we're gambling on Laura's weight. Did you go up or down, Laura?
Down.
Yeah, way to go.
Nice. How many pounds? One, two?
Just a half.
Half
it was
pound.
Down.
It counts.
Half pound. That's
it. Counts.
That's a start.
It counts.
Half down.
They put
half
that
down.
0.5 on there for a reason.
That's right. Congratulations.
I'm glad.
Yeah, you feel good?
Oh. It did, actually. It was funny. I placed a food order. I don't know if I could say company names or whatever, but I order from like a delivery service.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I noticed that when I made the order, I was a little better.
Oh.
Because you did it in your bathing suit.
That's interesting.
This is true. I got a little bit more, like, veggies and chicken over, like, pastas and whatnot.
That's awesome.
So, the psychological aspect of it coming into play. That's very, very interesting. So you'll be doing it again today then, back into the swimsuit?
Yes.
All right.
Probably about the same amount of time.
All right. Yeah. Well, you're seeing progress. That's okay. A good thing. We'll check in with you tomorrow and see how you're doing, okay?
Okay, have a great day.
You too, Laura. Thank you. How about that?
Good for her.
Great. Psychologically affecting her. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so throw your swimsuit on instead of your pajamas. Next thing you know, the weight is just going to melt off.
Yeah, I don't know if Laura found this, but I did it yesterday too, and it made me actually shave and shower before I did it.
Again, another secondary benefit. Wow.
Because I had to walk around in my bathing suit, so I was like, okay, time to shave my legs.
Have you lost weight or gained weight?
I gained 2 pounds.
2 pounds for Violetta, up to.
I think my scale's broken.
It's all that delicious Serbian food. Yeah. How about you, Melissa? I know you were doing it.
I did. I actually wore my suit for half the day yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't feeling that great in it. It had a huge impact on me because I probably ate half the amount of food yesterday that I normally do, and I was down 2 pounds.
Look at that. Do you find you're going through more booze than usual, Violetta?
Because
you go through a lot of booze before this even lockdown even happened.
Yeah, those wine bottles, like just one after another, after another.
Melissa, you find you got a lot of empty claw cans all over the house?
Not so much that, but for some reason I've jumped on canned beer. Well, I don't know why.
You're drinking canned beer. That's so surprising. What kind? Hams? Pabst?
Oh, I love hams.
Coors Light. I like it because it's just like, it's just so, I don't know. It's just so light tasting.
It's the nectar of the gods. All right. New study says alcohol sales have risen what percentage in America during the coronavirus lockdown? How much have they gone up there, Linda?
42%.
42, no. More than that.
More than 42%?
We are blasting the booze.
What?
Yep.
O-M-G.
Yeah, look at that. She OMG'd you, folks.
Right.
Hey, how much, Chris?
80%?
80%, no.
Is it more?
Boy, we would go right into rehab.
Oh.
Yep. Nope, that's too high.
Okay.
Alcohol sales have risen. How much, Chris?
55%.
That a guy right there. 55%.
That's a lot of bottles of beer on the wall.
That is a lot of bottles of beer on the wall, or cans of Coors Light in Melissa's garbage.
It's staggering.
It is. How you doing there, Chris?
I'm probably in that 55.
Yeah. Are you in self-quarantine?
I am. We're working from home and doing all the stuff I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Do you get dressed right when you get up, or are you walking around the house in your pajamas all day?
I put a top on, but...
Yeah, well, good.
That's all you need.
That's a good start.
Yeah, really, it is.
Yeah. Who needs the bottoms, really?
Right.
Yeah. What was the reason... You said you like to get home, Melissa, and take your bra off.
I sure do.
Right, and Whip and I had been commenting, you guys spend all your day in your pajamas, and you go out in your pajamas in public, and we just feel dirty.
Yeah.
Really unkempt. And Violetta's all freaked out that we keep our jeans on all day.
It really is weird.
It's not weird.
Yeah, because they're heavy, they're tight. It's not the material you want to sit on your couch
in. I find jeans to be very comfortable.
Yeah, our jeans aren't that tight. Jeans are different from men and women, too. That's the thing. No doubt about it.
That's true. I keep my shoes on.
Well, that's weird.
My feet get cold.
Like, get comfortable. Stay
a
while.
Comfortable.
No. Put on some slippers.
I'm totally comfortable.
Fuzzy socks.
I'm feeling good. back to you taking your bra off.
Yeah.
That actually isn't such a bad thing you discovered. What was that story?
Well, you know, there were like conflicting stories, actually. But the headline that I had sent you was that experts warn that not wearing a bra during lockdown could actually cause damage to the...
Wait a minute. Not wearing it? I thought wearing it was bad for you. Not wearing it is bad for you?
Correct.
Really?
Yes. So basically what women are doing...
That's not that big a story then. That makes sense.
Well, what the problem is that there are women all over the place. They have post after post after post of women showing how they're going home and they're not wearing their bras. They're showing pictures of themselves with their arms up in the air.
Woo!
They're going days on end without
wearing
bras. Some woman posted like, I'm on day 7, no bra, totally braless.
Yeah, but I went through...
What's the takeaway, though? Again, just to reinforce, what's the takeaway from doing that? That's bad? That's a downside? What's going to happen to you? That's what I'm looking for.
Exactly. So, basically, it causes damage to this ligament. It's called the Cooper's ligament that keeps your breasts up. So, if you aren't wearing it...
You're stretching the coop?
You're stretching the coop, man.
Flying the coop.
All right.
And, basically, there's also saying, like, obviously, the larger-breasted you are... Then
the more the coop gets stretched?
And
gravity pulling on the coop?
Right. And you need to
wear... Which is not slang for anything.
Oh, my God. You're awful. So you need to wear a bra. And they're actually suggesting to try to find ones that aren't wireless because it also can hurt your back support. You know, like you'll arch
Lugging things around, right.
Yeah, wearing the right bra will kind of keep you more upright and that kind of thing. So they're actually telling you, don't ditch the bra while we're all staying home.
Cooped up.
Right.
On lockdown.
Wow. All right. So your whole idea of getting comfortable when you get home by taking it off is ultimately, if you keep doing it, could be bad for you because they could start sagging.
Yeah.
Because you got to give Coop a chance.
Yeah. Exactly.
That totally makes sense. I went through like a braless phase a couple years ago.
A phase?
Yeah. I was like, I'm not doing
this
anymore.
I went through that whole pantsless phase a couple years ago. I just said, I'm done with pants.
Didn't go too well.
I thought I didn't need it. You know, you're young. You think this is going to stay like this forever.
Right. You're going to jump on a lot of trampolines and stuff like that.
And then one day I was like, whoa, what happened?
Right.
Yeah, I thought we could just to the place where we don't need bras anymore, like it's acceptable, but
gravity takes over.
Maybe one day God will give us that place.
I think our grandmas were trying to do that too, and it didn't really catch on.
All right, ladies, put the bra back on and give Coop a chance. I got this email that said, hey, Eric, I was wondering, my husband and I are in a debate. I hesitated on letting him kiss me because of the coronavirus. He said that there are enzymes in my mouth that would negate any viral or bacterial infections. Nah, you'll be fine.
What? Oh, yeah, right away with that. Don't worry. Right.
There's an enzyme in there. You're fine. Yeah. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It's just bluffing his way through it. I felt that not only kissing, but marital relations should be halted because of the virus.
Oh.
All marital relations.
Okay.
He also felt that we would see a baby boom in December and January because of the virus. I was wondering what you guys thought and whether or not you think there will be a baby boom. And do you think your listeners are still doing it as much now that they're in quarantine? Well, let's find out. 312-233-1019. Hi, Kat.
Hi. Good morning, you guys.
How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
All right. You're
you sound happy.
You're in quarantine with your significant other. I guess the question we'd like to ask you, Kat, while the quarantine's been underway, you doing it more or less?
Less, unfortunately. We are exhausted by the end of the day because we have two kids at home, too.
Right.
So he's upstairs doing his work, trying to not be distracted. I'm trying to be teacher mom downstairs, and it's exhausting.
And it's resulting in doing it less, which you find unfortunate. Oh. Some people might go, thank God it's less.
Yeah,
right?
I'm kind of surprised.
How about you, Lisa? Thank you, Kat. Lisa, you're in quarantine with your significant other?
Yes.
Are you doing it more or less than you were prior to the quarantine?
Doing it more.
More. There we go.
Yes.
Do you believe that that is, in fact, directly related to the fact that you're just trapped in the house with the two of you with nothing else to do?
There's not much else to do. Yeah, right. We're not, you know, we're not pressured to work out in the morning as early. We're in bed longer. At night, going to bed earlier. Yeah. Right.
Are you like the first caller? Do you have children?
We do have children, but they're older.
Yes, you're fine.
Yeah,
doing it more time. Doing it less. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. We spoke to 10 people off the air in the Secret Eric in the Morning off-air poll. They didn't know the question ahead of time, just like Kat and Lisa didn't know. We said off the air, since you're quarantined in your home with your significant other, are you doing it more or less? What do you think the outcome was?
Seven said yes.
Seven said doing it more?
Yes, correct.
All right. Violetta.
I think only three people said they're doing it more.
Doing it more. Whip.
Hmm. 5 and 5, right in the middle.
5 and 5. As it turns out, of the 10, 6 people said, yeah, I'm doing it more.
Okay.
Wow, way to go, everyone.
Yeah, so there's one upside to the quarantine, I guess. Melissa, your home state of Indiana, the great state, the Hoosier State.
Okay.
Indiana restaurant owner gets Joe Exotic haircut to raise money for his workers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I told you, unless I get a haircut pretty soon, I'm going to just have a Joe Exotic haircut.
That is the worst haircut
Thanks.
Ever. No, not you.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
No, Joe Exotic.
In an attempt to raise money for his workers, a gentleman decided to forego, decided to do a video fundraiser, according to the Indy Star. Customers viewing the live stream were asked to purchase gift cards or make donations to the workers of his restaurant through Venmo. He got himself the Exotic Joe mullet.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a look.
That is a look. An interesting look he's got.
Also, the Philly Voice says, Philadelphia's Evil Genius Beer Company has created Tiger King Beer in honor of the Netflix documentary. The pale ale is called Felt Cute, Might Feed My Husband to a Tiger Later, IPA.
IPA.
It's a long name.
Yeah, Felt Cute, Might Feed My Husband to a Tiger Later, IPA.
Ooh.
The beer is available for takeout only due to the coronavirus. It'll cost you $22.50.
Be fun
beer,
to try.
Melissa's a big beer drinker now, so that
I don't know
work.
What is going on with me. Yeah. Me and my cans of Coors Light at
You and your cans. You and your cans.
That's
All right, Whip, it's time.
Okay.
Going to play the jingle. You know what happens at the conclusion of the jingle? You'll hear the jungle drums start.
Okay.
The jungle drums will run 30 seconds. 30 seconds only. You got to cram in everything from episode number 3 in 30 seconds and 30 seconds only. When you hear the tiger roar at the end, time's up and we all move on with our lives.
Yes.
And then today you'll watch episode 4 and we'll relive the nightmare again tomorrow.
All true.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Is everybody else ready?
Ready.
Yes.
Melissa, you and your cans ready?
My cans are ready.
Here we go. Let's get underway. Day 2. To review...
Big cats in the zoo.
Right.
Joe Exotic, a bit cuckoo. From here to Timbuktu. Rips Tiger King review.
Here we go and go.
Carol Baskin's rich husband, Don Lewis, disappeared 20 years ago. She and Don bred and sold exotic cats, even though she crusades against that. Now Don had lots of girlfriends, had said Carol threatened to kill him, sought a restraining order. It was denied. Joe Exotic thinks she ground him up and fed him to her cats. Made a music video called Here Kitty Kitty, in which they recreate Matt. Her brother worked for the sheriff's department. She even put all sorts of stuff in her own name afterwards. Don's kids get only 10% of his estate. She gets the rest, which is millions of dollars. Now Joe Exotic says he's going to take her along, and at the end he says, her day is coming.
Her day's coming. I like that. That's my best part.
Yeah, put her in the grinder. Put him in the grinder.
Big cats in the zoo. Joe Exotic, a bit cuckoo. From here to Timbuktu, Rips Tiger King review.
Tune in for another installment tomorrow morning on The Mix. This Eric in the Morning podcast is brought to you by ComEd. ComEd safety is ComEd's number one priority. To find tips about electric safety for your home and family, visit ComEd.com/safety. ComEd powering lives.